Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello everyone, it is the Instant Match Reaction Show. We're in the studio. Liverpool drew 2-2 with Everton, tantalisingly close to being another famous Merseyside derby win, and unfortunately not. We've got some big talking points to get through, and we'll dive through them, I guess, in due course, really. If there's anything we don't cover on the show, don't worry, we will cover it. We will do it on the Final Word Show on Monday. So if there's any topics you really feel that we should be going into, then please do let us know in the comments section. I just want to quickly say welcome to Joe Madde, who joins us, club legend, who will get that show here on YouTube. As a YouTube member, you will get the Final Word Show after the weekend games. I thought you were doing a really deep belch for a second there. It was like brewing on the horizon. No, member. Just like saying the word member.
I just think it's funny.
Yeah, it is an amusing word. It's good that we can still smile, Chris, because there's been a deep feeling of fume around the office this afternoon.
I'm raging.
Yeah, I said, like, if the game finishes 2-2, like if Pickford just saves the Jordan Henderson chance, like he should do, like any other human being would have done, then I'm probably not fuming here, because I think, look, Everton scored two good goals. I think we were the better side. I think you can go, well, it's a draw. We always draw at Goodison. It was probably one of our better performances at Goodison in a long while. But because of the nature of the decisions and the fact that we had that big blow off.
Yeah.
And to have that kind of undercut, yeah, there is just a feeling of just general annoyance at the end of it.
Absolutely. I think you've nailed it, to be honest. That game just ended 2-2. I'd have been fine with that. Mm-hmm. I think we were the better side, as you say. I think they were the more clinical of the two sides. I think they put their chances away really well and didn't need as many chances to score two goals, unlike us. But I think for large portions of the game, we were much the better side. There was a 10-15 minute spell at the start of the second half where I was a little bit concerned. I thought Everton were doing really well at that point. But look, the injustices this time around are all from Liverpool's side. And I don't know whether I'm feeling like most Everton fans probably feel after normal derbies, because I'm looking at that going, I don't think Pickford should have been on the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
After that horrendous horror tackle on Virgil van Dijk. And I don't see that was offside.
Yeah.
You're never going to convince me that was a worthy offside to rule out the last goal. Mm-hmm. So for all of that, they're the two things that I'm walking away from and that I'm hanging my hat on. That's where my fume's coming from, is we did enough to win that game and we didn't get the 3 points. That feels unfair to me.
Yeah, and I'm seeing the inevitable response. I'm seeing most sensible Evertonians treating it as such, because the Pickford stuff, I think, is pretty inexcusable. The more you watch it back, the worse it gets, and he doesn't even need to be in slow motion. In normal time, it's horrific.
Missed the ball, mate.
Missed the ball, he's got the man.
Yeah, it's mad, because I'm seeing a lot of like, well, there was this in this derby, and 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 it's like...
Yeah, but this is this derby.
Yeah, I know, and that's the problem. The derby becomes very whataboutism, and as I said, ultimately, what it feeds into is, look, generally speaking, and not to tire everyone with one brush, Evertonians will be happier with that result than we are, which is mad, because that was probably Everton's joint best performance, I think, in a derby that I can remember. Certainly the best one in recent memory. In fact, the one where Andre Gomes has the shot cleared off the line or whatever, at Anfield, was probably the last time I remember them playing really well in a Merseyside derby. But we were brilliant as well in that game. So I feel a bit... I can't help but be drawn to the big decisions in it, because it feels like when you add them up, it feels like you're crying over spilt milk. It feels like you're getting a bit like you're just moaning for moaning's sake on it. But I can't get over that Pickford one. I think I'm used to that terrible offside decision because we've had a year of them. The thing that, in fact, we'll do that one while we're on it. We'll go back. We'll jump back to Pickford.
But if they'd not changed the handball law, would that have been ruled onside?
I have no idea.
Did they draw that from a shoulder? It's hard for us, can I just say, by the way, because we don't listen to the game with commentary, so we don't know. They might have explained to you guys exactly where that line's drawn from. It looks like it's drawn from his shoulder, which last season it wouldn't have been. It would have been the armpit rather than the shoulder, wouldn't it? Well, I don't know whether the handball rule change actually affects the VAR rule change.
It's a possibility. The thing that gets me is that I think I get it when the players are chasing that way.
I know, he's just facing it.
Because they're leaning in and because they're getting an advantage by being in that. Sadio Mane is stood in the line. So I don't see any need to bring
so
it down.
So pernickety.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, and again, look, we're sitting here complaining about the rules, and I do hate that because it always feels like you're making excuses. And look, the simple fact of the matter is, if Liverpool had been a bit tighter at the back, we probably wouldn't have needed those kind of situations. If you go ahead twice, you've got two opportunities there to win the football match. If you then have to rely on the third, then you're relying on a little bit of luck, and eventually that kind of runs out for you. And as I say, look, because it's not a great strike from Jordan Henderson, we're not asked, because again, we're not asked that Divock Origi's chance. Exactly. You know, we're not asked that Divock Origi gets that goal, because Divock Origi gets the goal. But like, Pickford should just save that, and then it's a non-issue. We've created a decent chance. The goalkeeper saved it. Oh well, we pick up and go again. The whole thing was just, I don't know, I think it takes the wind out of your sails. It makes you feel a little bit, you had the reaction. I've seen lots of people saying like, footy's fucked, and that's me done with football. We're not, you know, we'll be back here
footy's
again.
Footy's still fucked. Yeah. I'm not done with it though.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, we'll be back here on Wednesday, and we'll be back here at the weekend again, and it'll all continue ad nauseum forever and ever and ever. Actually, great comment here on Super Chat from Michael Cruz, £5 in. VAR makes me feel like a right mug, can't celebrate anything now. I'm in a uni flat full of blue noses and feel so stupid for celebrating 3-2. I feel really sorry for you, mate, because it was never going to stop me celebrating. And I'll always celebrate that because you can only live in the moment. But you're right, it does kind of pick it out and single you out to be made to look like a tit. Now, look, this is the point of VAR, is that it's meant to be. They've decided this is what it is. So these are the rules. It is what it is. If this was the first time we'd seen it make this mistake, I think we'd be up in arms. Mm. I'm just a bit deflated with it all because I said this in the reactions, that I'm expecting a decision to come from on high that fixes wrong things. It was a decision came on high that broke it.
Yeah.
Like, so you're still waiting for something else to come and go, I know, we finally definitively said it should be a goal, everything's fine, you win the match, and
could you imagine being in that ground and witnessing that and being a part of those celebrations to then essentially probably drive home, get all the way home, or get on someone's phone outside the ground half an hour later, probably actually do it when you're locked in or whatever, to then see that as why it's been fucked off. No, that is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, there would have been limbs everywhere in the away end. One of the great last gasp away winners. It's got everything. It's got the captain striding forwards in it. It's got Pickford throwing the ball in the back of the net. It was just glorious. And then, of course, it's got VAR chalking it off. For what? For what? It's just stupid. It just takes away part of a huge part of football that is... It's the biggest part for enjoyment. That's the goals of what enjoyment comes from.
Yeah.
And you're fucking around with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what makes football great. It's those releases of emotion that you get nowhere else in your life.
Yeah.
And there's a few other places in life where you get that type of release.
Yeah.
But one way you can share with all your mates, it's just that one, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Look, again, I like I say, the VAR, that decision, I don't like it, but I can live with it because that is what it is. In previous years, we've had years of like mad offside decisions. At least you're not getting ones where it's a foot. You know, it's clearly miles. It's annoying that it's being so, again, so pernickety to use your word for it, which is spot on. But I've developed an acceptance because that's what they've done. That's what they've brought in. This is what you get when you do that. The Pickford Van Dijk one. What is the fucking point of having a bunch of people rewatching and keeping an eye on these things if Pickford gets away clean with that? Like, mad. That is mad.
Didn't even look at it. What's the point?
Mad.
What's the point? It's stupid. It's reckless. It's endangering a player on the football field. It's terrible. It's late. It's high. It's fucking useless. And it's not even reviewed.
Yeah.
Why? Why have all the fucking cameras? Why have the rules? Why are you going to just go, on one hand, let's look at them in reverse order. Why can you go, yeah, he's offside by that much. And on the other hand, some lad goes in and karate kicks someone knees and they go, yeah, we'll just brush that one under the carpet. Honestly, mate, it doesn't really matter. Mate, you've just ruled a goal off for that and you're telling me that that is allowed?
No, it's bullshit. It's Inspector Clouseau. The Pig Panther kind of shit where you can imagine someone with the magnifying glass and they're looking, is that offside?
Yeah,
is
but
that
you're not offside? Looking at the whole picture.
No, exactly. While they're doing that, someone's literally being murdered just outside of the reach of this fucking magnifying glass and they're going, oh, but it's better. Oh no, that's a clear offside. That's good. Anyway, job done. Anything, anyway, cup of tea.
Didn't miss anything, did we?
Whose turn is it to go and get the hobnobs?
He's behind you.
Oh my god, that
fucking pantomime shit, mate.
That foul from Pickford is worse than what Richarlison is sent off for.
Yeah.
It's a worse tackle. Yeah. It's a worse challenge. Yeah. And that Richarlison one is a fucking shocker, by the way. Mid calf shin on the shin. That is a leg breaker. That the both leg breakers. I think Pickford's is worse because again, it's
reckless.
Yeah, exactly. It's in the penalty area, for fuck's sake. People don't do that in the penalty area because you give away a penalty. He's a fucking moron, Jordan Pickford. He is one. I can't fathom how he's a top level goalkeeper.
He's not.
He's dreadful. And he's the England number one, Chris. You know, he's playing in the Premier League and he's fucking this. I don't know how he's employed. He's fucking dreadful. And then you add that on top, like that's crazy. Like, and the worst thing about it is there's no recourse on it. There's no.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's mad. And again, it's one of them things. We've talked about this for ages. What will Liverpool do without Virgil van Dijk? The slight encouragement is that I thought Joel Matip was outstanding today. I thought he was absolutely... That was back to Joel Matip being...
Was he 3 minutes of footy before today?
Yeah. We've just not seen him. He's been great. We talked about it a little bit in commentary. I think it warrants a bit more analysis, but maybe Gomez could have done more for Calvert-Lewin one. I'm no expert on that.
I mentioned during the player rating show, I think there's 3 defenders that can all have a little bit of blame apportioned to them during that goal. Trent for not tracking Lucas Digne's run, Gomez for not going for the ball, and Robbo for maybe expecting that Gomez was going to go for the ball.
Yeah,
I don't think you can blame Adjian for that one. I think I personally, I know you disagree, I think Adjian could have done better with their one. I think, you know, when you see, yes, it's close. Yes, it's powered at him, But Matip said there was fucking close, and Pickford managed to claw that around with a world-class save.
You know what I mean?
And that's not at him. That's a big fucking dive and a claw around.
It's reflexes, in it, I think, at that. And you're right. It sounds weird. It's a much better saving environment for the Pickford. That's a world-class save from Matip, by the way. I don't know that Adrian would have had a sniff of that either, because
I agree.
But the point is, that one, Adrian...
He gets his fingers on it. He just doesn't get enough, does he?
Exactly. I mean, sometimes that goes over the bar, sometimes your palm straight down into the middle, and sometimes it just goes into the roof of the net, and yeah.
I've had enough Jordan five-a-sides or 40 over the years to know that I can't save that type of a thing.
And it's weird, it's one of the things I remain good at. As a goalkeeper, it's one of the few things that I'm still quite agile in. But I think I made one of them in like the hashtag game a few years ago. But
up here, you're amazing.
Oh yeah, my zone of terror is here.
If you have to go below the knees, that's so good.
Not happening. I don't see any point in blaming Adrian for that. Because again... Alisson's conceded a few soft ones where they've been, you know, in areas that he should be saving this season. If someone gets a header inside the 6-yard box and puts it on target,
it's a bit like a penalty in that regard. You don't expect the keeper to save it, do you?
If the keeper saves it, it's a worldie. Even if it's down his throat, it's still an excellent save. If Adrian manages to push that onto the bar, we're talking about what a great save it is. We're not saying it's meat and drink. We're not saying that's a standard save by Adrian. We're saying what a great save it is for reflexes for that kind of distance. If it goes in, it's nitpicking. And it's look fine for nitpicking because I think people have got a problem with Adrian. And they do. Again, it goes back to what I said in the build-up to this game. I can't be arsed going in. There's no point in going in on Adrian because he is what he is. He's a goalkeeper. He's not a world-class goalkeeper. He's not an international-class goalkeeper. He's just about a backup Premier League goalkeeper. But there's plenty more people that warrants conversation in this game and not him. The one that I do want to talk about, because he's tied into everything brilliant we do on the day, Jordan Henderson.
Yeah.
He was magnificent. I think he was up there. He was my man of the match, although he was yours from the player ratings. If he scores the goal, it's a 10 out of 10 performance.
Easy. I thought he was brilliant. I thought he set the tempo. I thought he played that right-hand side of the midfield three brilliantly. He was everywhere. His passing range was on show. His tackling, his pressing, his ability to support Mo Salah. He gets that one. I don't know whether you can't really call it an assist, but he whips that ball in, doesn't he, before Salah's goal. He set the tempo of the game throughout. I think there was players at times during the game, Thiago Alcantara being one of them, who set the tempo for periods of the game. 15-minute spells where in first half and the second half, I thought Thiago's got the game by the scruff of the neck, but I think Jordan had it for a huge part of the game. He was massively involved throughout the entire 90 minutes. Real captain's performance from him.
I love him. I think he's so good, and it's mad. It's like watching Jordan Henderson for the first time. Every time he comes back into the side, and you see it's so noticeable how much better we are with him in the midfield. And this is a game where Thiago played, and Thiago was really good as well. Like we got to see another great.
He got man of the match, didn't he? Thiago. Yeah, they gave him man of the match. I'm surprised
sure,
with that
I'm
one.
Not sure about that one. I think it's funny. I saw people going, "Oh, he's not been that good." Blah blah blah. I think if you hyper analyze Thiago's performance, it was fine. It was probably fine at best. If you just focus on all the brilliant stuff, then you'll think it was a 10 out of 10 performance. I think the truth lies somewhere in between. I think it took him half an hour to get into the game. Then he got into the game and we were better for him being in the game. I think what Thiago does is what very few Liverpool, the best Liverpool players do. The standout in Liverpool's team used to be a guy who worked really hard.
Yes.
So like Dirk Kuyt used to stick out like a sore thumb because he just ran constantly for the team. Those players, now it's lads who play brave balls through the lines. That's why we like Matip. Fabinho's quite good at doing that. Jordan Henderson's outstanding at spreading balls all over the park, but Thiago does it in areas where it shifts you up a gear without any like loss in transmission. You know what I mean? It's not like you go from second to fifth and you go. He shifts you forward.
Yeah.
You jump up 20 miles an hour just by him being able to play a through ball.
There was engage warp drive.
No, honestly, genuinely, it's mad. It's like jump air. Like he just skips forward in time and moves our play forward.
Because you do think, I think I said, I can't remember the exact wording, but you settle into what's happening and then he just changes that, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. The ball for Mane at the end, obviously before Henderson's is ruled out, is the perfect example of that. I think there's an easy ball to his right-hand side. Liverpool have played that ball countless times throughout and he plays a no-look 40-yard pass along the floor to Mane's feet.
You know what's
and changes the complexion of the game in that moment.
We saw Diogo Jota play a through ball to Andy Robertson and he overhit it. And we've seen that happen all the time. Thiago plays that ball, and we were talking about this in the Chelsea game, that he gives the pass has all the information written on it. It's like throwing a brick wrapped in a fucking ransom note. Like, it tells you where you need to meet the drop off, tells you how much you need to go, you need to come with, and what you need to be wearing. That's what a Thiago ball does. And it, because Mane's squirt goes back to, got his back to goal. If you play it in, where he's got to drop off the front line and then he's maybe dropping off and moving into moving centrally, looking to maybe bring a full back in, looking to spread it through the middle. There's another one where you put too much on it, which is the easy thing to do, a la Jota earlier on, where you're letting it go.
You're trying to catch up.
Exactly. Mane lets it go. And oftentimes, we do it in computer games all the time, you let it run and then you've got to go and chase it down. He doesn't have to go and chase it down because the weight is just
sublime.
Perfect. Perfect, it's lovely. And it's such a shame that we won't be able to really, you know, to highlight that goal for all the brilliant build-up in it, because, of course, it gets chalked off. But I thought the midfield three were excellent. I thought the Fabinho, again, we'll talk more probably about
him. Promising as well, that midfield three, though, isn't it? It's the first time they've obviously played together. It's the first time we've seen Thiago in the eight. And if that's his first performance in the eight, a man-of-the-match performance, according to whatever game it was on, BT, yeah. Was it today? Yeah. That's great, isn't it? So I think you could argue that he got the man of the match in the Chelsea game. I mean, he was certainly the most influential in the second half of proceedings. Mm-hmm. He's come on, he's had a man of the match performance in his second game. This is a lad who's playing with world-class players and who's already come in, doesn't know the system, and is already standing on their shoulders.
Yeah, absolutely. Good comment here from Jack Blacklock. He said, I thought Thiago was outstanding today. Show why we bought him, my man of the match. More disappointed with injuries, but VAR, but what's the point in having it?
I don't know, Jack.
No, this is a bad one. But I get good points, actually. You know, I mean, I'm sure people can give man of the match to whoever they want, and it was a really good performance. The reason I give it to Jordan Henderson is because Jordan Henderson was, from the first minute till the 95th minute, 96th minute, he was brilliant. Whereas I think it's like with Thiago, for me, it was probably a 7.5, maybe an 8 out of 10 performance. There's loads more to come from him. Like, as you said,
I've got my notes on Thiago, and I give him an 8.5 and Hendo a 9. And I didn't give anybody else a 9 on the day, just Hendo on my own personal player ratings. But it's close. It was a great performance.
We know this about player ratings. It's just an excuse to get fuming over certain things. Again, Thiago, if he puts the bits where he was good, like if he puts that into a full 90 minutes, which eventually he will, he'll be unplayable. He'll be unstoppable. How the hell are you meant to stop us from passing the ball into scoring positions? Because he's genuinely something else. Hopefully he's actually not injured, because Klopp did mention that he plays on despite being injured. Fingers crossed he's okay in that. And obviously Virgil van Dijk, we don't know at time of film and how Virgil's going to be, but Klopp made a comment about it and was basically saying Virgil can play with pain. I said it in commentary. My fear over this is very much like the Jordan Henderson one. Virgil van Dijk, look, Andy Robertson looks like he's actually hurt himself in that game, but Robbo plays on because he can play with pain. If Van Dijk's gone off, you can't imagine that's a good one. I know he walks off, so it's not like he's not torn as ACL. It's not, you know, he's not, I can't see this being like, 6 months, 9 months out, but...
Look, when you watch the NFL, they bring carts on for everybody. They don't bring carts on in footy. You know, you're either getting stretched off or you're not. He's able to get up of his own volition. That doesn't mean he can run. That means he can walk, and he may be putting on a brave face or something. The rumours flying around Twitter already are 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah. You know, I've seen them in the comments, I've seen them on Twitter. Let's hope it's not that long, because that could be really tough for us to get through.
Yeah.
Although I do think that Joe didn't have a bad performance there. I think it's worth talking about just briefly. Mm-hmm. I think he comes into a very, very tough environment for him. The linchpin of our defence is gone and he takes his position. I think he did all right, considering.
I think people who expect Liverpool to absolutely catastrophically collapse because Virgil van Dijk's not there, I think they might be in for a bit of a shock. I don't think Liverpool will be...
I'd like Alisson back though if Virgil's not there.
That would help immeasurably, Joe Gomez is really good and Matip's really good. now we need to just get a bit lucky and hope that they stay fit.
Yeah.
But obviously you got Fabinho there. Look, Gini Wijnaldum comes into that game. You can easily put Gini into midfield and put Henderson into the six, or put Gini into the six. And I think you've still got an absolutely phenomenal midfield with Fabinho at the back. I think we'll be fine. I think any I saw people mention the amount of goals we conceded. Conceding seven in a game is a massive outlier and doesn't help these kind of things. But I think Liverpool will be fine. I think we saw it in the performance. I think we've seen it in the Chelsea performance, the Arsenal performance, and the Everton performance today, and what we've done on the pitch. I think Liverpool are still going to be very good this season. But I think what we've seen is the world where I just don't think 99 points is going to win the league this season.
Doesn't look like it.
No, I think this is going to be a return to an 86-ish sort of.
I think you're probably right. I just don't think the league's settled in, and I'm now starting to wonder whether the league is going to settle in until there's fans back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if at all. So yeah, very interesting indeed. But you just see what happens with the Man City Arsenal game later on. Watch that one with one eye. Certainly.
Who do you want to win? Still Arsenal?
Yeah. I just don't see Arsenal as a long term threat in the league. But it would just make us feel a bit better, I think, about the whole situation, because you know, we were like, oh well, there you go, there's the league done and dusted a week ago. City with the game in hand, we'll start to look a bit like, oh God, City are firing up and running. When, you know, Aguero's back in training and all that kind of stuff, it'd be nice for them to drop a bit of points. But they might not. They'll probably twat Arsenal everywhere because they're dead good. Point is, I said 10 games. Don't look at the league table till 10 games is gone. And if Everton are still there, then fair play to them. Because, I thought they were really good today. Certainly better than they've been for a while. Right, guys, thank you. Chris, thank you. Final Word Show is coming on Monday. An hour in-depth chat. We're going to be talking about the players we haven't. More on Matip, more on Fabinho, more on Mane, more on Salah, more on Bobby Firmino as well. I think is a really interesting talking point of whether there's more to come, or where he's kind of at in his Liverpool career at the moment. Loads and loads and loads of really good stuff, and of course more reaction. We'll know more about Van Dijk by that point. You can get that show if you're a YouTube member. Sign up to Club Captain or Club Legend level. You get access to custom emotes, which you can use inside all of our live streams as well. But if you want more, the full Redmen TV package, sign up to the redmentv.com, where you get that show twice a week, where we've got two games after every single game. You also get loads of exclusive documentaries and interviews with Liverpool legends, past, present, and future as well. Every aspect of the Mighty Reds covered by our good selves and our wonderful cast of supporting members as well. But yeah, thank you very much. There is also a brand new book that we've got out right now. It is The Champions of Everything. So if you're looking for a little bit of a light-hearted look, I can guarantee the reactions to this game will be featuring in next year's book. So do check that out. That is on the Redmen TV shop. Other than that, yeah, drop a like. See you all soon. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.